Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call to order the November 8th, 2018 hearing of the Clark County Land Use Hearings Examiner. My name is Daniel Cairns, and I'll be presiding over tonight's agenda, which consists of two items. Let me begin with an introduction to me and how the process is going to work this evening. First of all, I and one other person, we serve by appointment from the Board of County Councilors to review land use applications in unincorporated Clark County. It's our job to review the record, review all the public comments, the applications, the staff reports, and then to convene a hearing such as this to take public testimony on these items. It's our job to evaluate, ultimately, the approval criteria that control each of these applications and to determine whether the applicant has met or does not meet those approval criteria. Those are the standards that are in the Clark County Unified Development Code as they existed on the day each of these applications was submitted. It's not my job to be more stringent, no more lenient than those standards require, but rather to fairly interpret them and decide whether the applicant has demonstrated that they are met or not. It's also required to provide an impartial evaluation of each of these items, and I believe that I am impartial with regard to each of these. I don't have any business, familial, or personal contact with the applicants or any of the parties to these proceedings. What I know about each of them is what I have read from the record coming into tonight's hearing. I've had my record for about 2 weeks now. If you wish to, you can question me about potential biases or pre-hearing contacts during the public testimony portion of the item that you're interested in. With regard to each of these items, let me give a schedule of how each one will work. We'll begin with a staff report, which is a verbal rendition of the written staff report that was issued prior to tonight's hearing. I believe there are copies at the back of the room still for each of these. After that, I'll take the applicant's presentation. What I'm looking for from the applicant, three things primarily. First of all, are there any changes to the proposal? I've had my record for about 2 weeks. Are there any changes to the proposal, revised plat, any specific procedural requests, things like that? I need to know, and all of the members in the audience tonight need to know, what is the proposal as it currently exists? Second, I need to hear from the applicant any specific objections or corrections or challenges to staff's proposed findings and staff's proposed conditions. Those are set forth in the staff reports, and the staff report recites the applicable approval criteria and provides staff's view of whether those criteria are met or not, as well as conditions of approval. Third, from the applicant, during the public testimony portion of the hearing, I will ask that the applicant keep notes, keep careful track of the points that the public raises. I ask that because a lot of times the public testimony that I receive is in the category of, how is this application going to work? How is this development going to affect me? How does the stormwater system work? Those sorts of questions. And frequently the applicant is in the best position to explain how this proposal is going to really function in the context of the existing neighborhood. So those are the three things I'm looking for primarily from the applicant. You applicants, you can assume I've read the application and familiar with what is generally the issue here. After that, anyone else in favor of the proposal can testify. Then anyone with neutral testimony or questions can testify. And then finally, anyone opposed testifies. After that, the applicant has final rebuttal. In all of these matters, the applicant gets the last word because the applicant has the burden of proof, the burden of proving that they meet all of the approval criteria. And those are, as I mentioned, analyzed and stated in the staff reports issued for tonight's hearings. Anyone needs additional time to formulate testimony, you can ask for a continuance or that the record be kept open. If you want either of those things, be sure to make that request during the public testimony portion of the hearing. Also, you need to raise before me tonight, before the close of the record, any issue that you would want to preserve for a subsequent appeal. My decisions are final and may be appealed to Clark County Superior Court under the Land Use Petition Act. But in order to bring an appeal, you need to participate either orally or in writing before the close of the record on the item that you're interested in. You also need to present to me any evidence that you might want to preserve for a subsequent appeal. And you need to raise those issues, present that evidence during the public testimony portion of the hearing. Here's some basic do's and don'ts for participating tonight. First of all, only do so in that order I just recited. Come up to the table in front of me, speak into these microphones. Part of the record that I'm compiling is an audio recording of the testimony. And so that's one way that the county and the record can preserve the legal issues that you raise. Begin with your name and mailing address. Spell your name so I get that close to correct. And please also limit your testimony to the approval criteria. As I mentioned, they're listed in the staff report. Those are what control my decision on each of these items. And so you should tailor your testimony to those criteria. If you represent someone and are speaking on behalf of someone else, let me know that. If you have any evidence you want me to consider, log it in to the administrative assistant. It'll become part of the permanent record. We'll give all of these documents. You submit an exhibit number. Be prepared to leave them forever. They'll become part of the permanent record. Also, don't forget to raise any issue that you want to preserve for an appeal. And that's it by way of procedural rundown. If you have any questions going forward, you can ask those during your item. The first item on tonight's agenda is a covenant release, CPZ 2018-16, partial covenant release on a zone change. And with that, I'll take a staff report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. For the record, my name is Richard Davio. I'm the project planner on this case. And instead of moving forward with my normal presentation, it's my understanding the applicant is going to be asking for a continuance, so I thought it might be a good idea to do that.
Okay.
To see if that would work.
Ms. Bremer, why not? Tell me what's up.
Thank you. Good evening. For the record, Leanne Bremer, representing the applicant, 500 Broadway, Suite 400, Vancouver, 98660. Mr. Examiner, this is somewhat of an unusual application. I don't know if you've had one of these before.
I don't think I have.
Yeah. So there is a covenant recorded against the subject site and a neighboring parcel. Primarily, it changed the zoning from industrial to commercial and then established 5 transportation-related mitigation measures for development of the property. Concurrently with this covenant release application, there is a site development application also in process. And that is an administrative review. It's going through the fully complete stage right now. So one of the questions early on in the process was how to, because they're related applications, but they have different processes. One comes before you and one is staff review. We're struggling with staff on how to, what comes first, mm-hmm. And how they relate. And so we've tried to work with staff on establishing the process for that. We were unable to get a meeting scheduled early on in this process to figure out logistically how it was going to work. We had this hearing date scheduled, and we got a negative staff report on the covenant release application, and frankly, we just we ran out of time to address the issues in the staff report, and with also the site development application issues going on at the same time. So
that's in process.
That's right, it is. So given all of that, we are requesting a continuance so we can work with staff, hopefully, and try and resolve some of the issues that they raised in the staff report on this application. At the same time, sorting out how that all fits in with the site development application that's going on at the same time. And we're prepared to pay the continuance fee tomorrow. And if this is granted, I believe staff is supportive of the request, and they can speak on that if they want. But we have a date specific that we'd like to schedule it to a hearing that's already on the calendar on December 13.
Okay. That makes sense, and it'll presumably allow you to figure out this kind of chicken and egg coordination thing, as well as the other question I had was, you asked for a partial release, so is it all or just some of those mitigating conditions? So figure that out, too.
And the reason it was characterized as partial because the zoning piece of it, changing the zoning to commercial, we're not changing. We obviously want to develop as commercial. We are revisiting whether to request that all five mitigation measures go away or if we're going to modify some of them, keep some of them. That's all in flux.
And remind me, is it for all the properties that were subject to the original zone change?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense to me. Mr. Davio, Mr. Jardine, you're the most involved in this. Any objections to continuing this to December 13?
No, Mr. Hearings Examiner.
Okay. Is anyone here in the audience to talk about this item, want to testify on this item? Okay. With that, I will continue this hearing until December 13th, starting at 6 o'clock. And good luck to working these issues out.
Thank you.
Next is a cottage subdivision, PLD 2018-24. It's entitled 62nd Avenue Cottage Subdivision. Zoning is R1-6, and it's proposing 18 cottage units on 1.77 acres. And when you're ready, I'll take a staff report, please.
Can you hear me? Is this working? Yeah. Okay, good evening, Mr. Examiner. My name is Amy Wooten. I'm the land use planner for Clark County assigned to the proposed project. Next to me is David Jardine, representing Development Engineering. We are here tonight to discuss the proposal for Northeast 62nd Avenue Cottage Subdivision. The subject development proposes to divide one existing parcel with approximately 1.65 acres into 18 new lots in accordance with special uses standards for cottage developments. The subject site is accessed from Northeast 62nd Avenue, a public roadway located north of Northeast 40th Street in the Rhodes End neighborhood, and is depicted on the vicinity map with the black dot. On the zoning map, the subject site is depicted in red. As you can see, the subject site and surrounding properties carry an urban low-density residential comp plan designation and are all zoned R16. The subject site in this aerial photo is outlined in red. It is comprised of one lot, which currently contains a barn that will be removed prior to recording of the final plat. Staff has several pictures of the site. This photo shows Northeast 62nd Avenue, northbound along the subject site's westerly frontage. This photo just shows general site conditions, taking it from the northeast looking to the southwest. This photo is of the existing barn that's going to be removed, and it represents the kind of northeast corner of the site that doglegs a little bit. The site is zoned R16 and being developed under the county's cottage development standards, which can be found in the special uses section at 4260.073. These specialized standards allow a maximum density up to 200% of the underlying zone. In this case, the R1 district would allow for a maximum of 12 lots, therefore under standards put forth for cottage developments, a maximum density of 24 units would be permitted. The applicant proposes 18 detached cottages, which is within the permitted density range. The applicant also proposes 2 on-site parking lots to serve the development. Parking in cottage developments is required at a rate of 1.5 spaces per unit, and it can be provided in surface parking lots as proposed. Based on the 18 units portrayed, 27 parking spaces are required for this development. The applicant proposes 34 parking spaces, which meets the standard. In addition to density and parking standards, the applicant has provided public and private open space and building design that meets requirements for cottage development. The public notice was issued for this development on September 18th of 2018. One petition and several public comment letters were received from neighbors in the general vicinity. Neighbors shared concerns regarding the proposed density, traffic, parking, stormwater drainage, privacy, and maintenance of the sewer lines. In addition to those concerns, neighbors requested that the development be held to a maximum of 9 new lots. Staff found that although the neighbors' concerns were understandable, any issues resulting from the development of the subject parcel have been satisfactorily addressed through mitigation or design, and as proposed, the development meets Title 40 development standards. On October 23rd, the applicant submitted revised drawings and additional narrative proposing a 0 lot line configuration. The applicant asserts that the new configuration is superior to the original design that proposed shared side yard easements, as it will likely help to avoid the potential for neighbor disputes. A memo has been provided to the HE, to you, the hearing examiner, containing a finding related to 0 lot line standards put forth in section 4260-260. As proposed, the development meets all building design standards and setback standards prescribed for cottage and 0 lot line development. Staff concurs with the applicant's assertion that the 0 lot line configuration provides a better design. This application was submitted on July 18th of 2018. The staff report and recommendation was issued on October 24th of 2018. At that time, the SEPA determination of non-significance became final and there was no appeal filed. Based on the staff report and recommendation issued October 24th of this year, staff finds that all land use development criteria can be met with this proposal and hereby recommends the examiner approve the application for PLD 2018-00024 as conditioned. Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Staff is available if you have any questions.
Just a couple to make sure I am tracking this. The current proposal is Exhibit 16. That's that layout, and does the 0 lot line and the updated open space plans, exhibits 22 and 23, how do they, I'm looking to see if there are any kind of dimensional changes or shifts in elements on the plat here.
There wasn't really any shifting. Exhibit 23, I believe, was submitted just to clarify where the open space was and the differentiation between the public open space that they were providing and the private open space as it related to the cottage housing code criteria. And then Exhibit 22 showed a realignment of the property lines and the 0 lot line design that we were talking about. I may have gotten them reversed, but I thought that was how they were.
Okay, I think I'm seeing the lot lines on the original.
It's kind of hard to read on the small plan.
So as I see it now, the lot lines have shifted so as to be on the face of the buildings,
yeah.
Or at least the side face.
Originally, the applicant had proposed 5-foot setbacks to each building,
yeah.
And then they would be within a shared easement, and instead they've just shifted the line, so it's still going to be a 10-foot easement, but that entire 10 feet will belong to one property owner instead of two.
It's an easement in favor of the county, or?
The easement, I believe, is a building requirement, and it has to do with firewalls and access.
So who is the recipient of the easement? Not really. This isn't making sense to me in my view of easements.
To tell you the truth, I'm not sure. The code just requires that they have an easement and that there's a covenant that the PA's office reviews and approves. So I'm not really sure what the approving language would be.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe the applicant can maybe better explain it. So also I understand there's a temporary cul-de-sac bulb thing here, stubbing to the property's east boundary. And I assume the property to the east is eligible for development sometime in the near future, our lifetimes.
Do you want to answer that? Or do you want me to?
Well, good evening, Mr. Herring's examiner, David Jardine, Transportation Concurrency and Development Engineering. The consideration of properties that are east of the subject site were taken into consideration for circulation in the area. So block length, block perimeter, meeting the circulation requirement of the code. There is what appears to be on either side of properties that are immediately east, but north and south of there, it doesn't really show a good picture, but there are street stubs that are on the north and one on the south. So having this east-west road tie into continuation of the road network that's immediately east of here as properties develop
okay.
over time.
It makes theoretical
yes,
sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And so as I see it, the what's proposed for this bulb is no structures, but looks like one of the parking lots and some of the open space.
Correct. So there are some specific requirements that have to be met for a temporary cul-de-sac bulb, thickened sidewalk section so that you can actually drive on them, so on. But the easements or the temporary cul-de-sac bulb easement is in place so that there's not the possibility of a trespassing claim and then ultimately, if I'm understanding things correctly, when the road is extended, the temporary cul-de-sac bulb easement will be relinquished, and it will just continue through as a straight on right away.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Stormwater system. I assume this proposes infiltration on site.
That is correct.
So all the stormwater that falls on it will stay on it, in theory.
That is how the applicant has described his system or their system as collecting and infiltrating 100% of the stormwater that is generated by this site.
Okay. I think that's it for now. Anything else from staff on this?
Nope. Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you. I'll take the applicant's presentation, please.
Good evening. I'm Albert Schlotfeld, S-C-H-L-O-T-F-E-L-D-T, 900 Washington Street, Suite 1020, Vancouver. I am here representing Stone Ridge Capital, LLC, and with me to my left is Mr. Travis Johnson from PLS Engineering. In terms of the first issue, whether there's any changes to the proposal, the only issue I'm aware of is reflected in the memorandum that Ms. Wooten already dealt with regarding the covenant for setbacks. And there was a question that you posed regarding the easement. As I understand it, the easement is essentially a maintenance easement for the unit owner so that the unit owner can maintain the exterior of their home, whereas the yard is owned by the other unit owner. So there's a yard that belongs to one unit, but the corresponding unit needs to get to the backside of their house for maintenance purposes. So that's essentially the purpose.
Okay. I hadn't seen that before, but it's not often that I see developments with such tight side yards. That makes sense now.
And with regard to any specific objections to the staff's findings or conditions, we have none. And I guess the last thing I would say in this portion of the presentation is that, you know, we've reviewed the neighbors' concerns, and we respect their concerns, but we do believe that the proposal has dealt with all of the issues through mitigation or design and that we fully comply with the code. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Hearing Examiner. Just one minor change I just got. I think it's just a typo. Also, I'd like to thank Mr. Jardine and Mrs. Wooten, too, for all their work. Condition A4H, I think it's supposed to say the applicant shall show a fine on the construction plans installation of street barricade on Northeast 43rd Circle. That should be placed right there at the end of the cul-de-sac. I just now caught that. Sorry.
You don't want to go up to 87th or 78th Street and put one in?
No, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just jot this down. Anyone else like to testify in favor of this proposal? Anyone with neutral testimony or questions? Anyone opposed? Come on down. We have three seats here, so we can come down in groups of three and queue up and go through. You were first, so you get to go first.
My name is Mary Buzas. Our address is 4214 Northeast 62nd Avenue.
Could you spell your last name, please?
B as in boy, U as in umbrella, zebra, apple, Sam.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm not an engineer, I'm a nurse, and just looking at this picture, it's not safe to me to have so many homes so crowded together. I live in the street, the house across to this property, and I have kids that I have to take to school. And every morning when I back off my car, I have to wait for the school bus and many other neighbors to pass by. And I just cannot imagine how I'm gonna just back off my driveway with my kids safely. I just want you to consider how this neighborhood looks right now and how the homes look right now. Not far away from our property, another beautiful development happened where every house has 5,000 to 8,000 square foot lot. I'm not opposed to having our neighborhood enriched and more people move in. And I understand that profit matters, but also our safety matters. And the way our town looks, like the way we transform this project development, going so aggressive and bringing, changing the nature of how the neighborhood looks. So the main thing for me is safety in our area. And the second is the water. So when we moved here, we understood this was a wetland at one time. We understood that the property that's being developed was filled in with the gravel from SR 500. That was probably, I don't know, 50 years ago, our neighbor can tell us. So is this safe land to put so many homes on a land that was a wetland? When we built our house, we understood that at one point it was a Miller. The way the history of this land goes, and you could tell because every single winter we have a lot of water sitting on our street. It's just wet, and my neighbor's house is like puddles of water, and on the edge of our property is a lot of water. So it's been a wetland at one point. It's safe, you know. I'm not an engineer again, but we built a house across the street on half an acre, one house, and we took extra caution, and we had to choose the right spot. And I don't know, just across my street, it's that different. So
you can tell me, do you have a basement in your house?
No.
Okay. So the houses in the area, to your knowledge, don't have basements?
The best I know, they don't have basements. I haven't been in too many homes around me, just a couple.
Okay.
So,
okay, that
consider,
makes sense.
Consider.
I will. Thank you. You're next.
Yeah, I'm Kalim Buzash. She's my wife.
So could you spell your first name?
C-A-L-I-N.
M as in man?
N, like okay. Nancy.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I live across the same address, 4214 Northeast 62nd Avenue. My concerns are basically kind of the same. But I don't know, when I'm looking at this development, it seems to me it's like a mix between houses and apartments. And
you've never seen anything like this?
No.
I got to tell you, I've not seen one like this before. This is the first cottage development proposal that's come before me, and so it's just a new creature for me as well.
So the fact that, okay, it has separate parking and for each house, that's something that, to me, it looks like apartments. Mm-hmm. And for the zone we are here, when we moved in this neighborhood, we knew that it's a residential neighborhood. So that was one of the reasons we moved here. But we didn't want to have apartments across our house. So,
didn't count on cottages, though.
I know. They're cottages, but they look to me like apartments.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, also, another thing, I know the regulation and stuff like that, but usually every house has two cars. When kids grow up, they have three cars, maybe, and stuff like that. So 34 parking spaces, I don't think, will be enough. And the problem is that then they would have to park in front of my house, basically.
On 62nd, yeah.
Yeah, on 62nd.
Is there parking allowed on 62nd?
No.
I guess they won't park there then.
they have to park somewhere, yeah. So I have that concern. And also with the stormwater, I don't know. When we built the house, we had like really big problems with, like, I took 6 months just figuring out the stormwater, how to do it. And I don't see any trenches, anything like that, that would solve the stormwater here. I don't know. So that's one of my concerns because the neighbor across us, many times, even now, the water from the storm many times goes on his property. So
from yours?
No, from mine. But I guess
just in the area. Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So and also, there is gonna be a lot more traffic, a lot more on the street, and the street is pretty narrow.
62nd is narrow.
Yeah, pretty narrow. Yeah. And, well, we just had an accident like this summer. It was small, but a friend of mine, because of the how small the street is, bumper to bumper and stuff like that.
Yeah, accidents are not going to go down.
Yeah, that's for sure. They're going to increase. That's for sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're next.
Thank you. Donna Quinnell, that's Q-U-E-S-N-E-L-L, 4419 Northeast 62nd Avenue.
So how far away is that from the proposed entrance to this thing?
Well, it's down the street, 600 feet or so.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, anyway, I share, you know, their concerns too, but, you know, they didn't call us Road's End for nothing. I mean, the Road's End.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be even worse now that our cutoff to 500 has been limited. We can only take a right. Well, we won't even be able to do that. Try to get on 500 with, you know, the traffic coming from the east. And so we've got, you know, Andreessen, and we've got St. John.
So to get on 500, it's to the north?
Well, see, 500, is to the north of us.
So you would turn left to get onto 500?
We could not now.
Okay.
See, what's happening is they're taking out the streetlights that we have on Falk Road. This is Road's End neighborhood. Falk Road and Stapleton. They're taking out the lights so that there could be a flow of traffic on 500.
Okay.
And I can see their reasoning, but for us, we have no access across, you know, across 500 to get to Divine or Fourth Plain or anything like that. We used to have two ways. We'd have Stapleton or we'd have Falk Road. Now we have to go clear to Andreessen or over to St. John's, see, in order to get on the other side of town. Well, it'd be a problem now for us now, but with all the new developments, and see, there are about five new developments beside this proposed one that are going on in our area.
Oh, yeah.
On 66th Avenue, they've got three huge ones that are coming in. On 58th, they were digging up all over the place, taking off all the trees. Tons of people are moving in there.
Mm-hmm.
So with this one, I'm not saying that they shouldn't build. I'm not saying that people don't have the right to sell their land. I'm not saying that. But 18 lots. My gosh.
Could have been 24. Under the code.
18 through 24. But now we proposed, say, 9 individual lots on that parcel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's fine. We'll go with that. It'd be crowded.
Basically, what the base zone would allow.
That makes sense, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then are they going to chop down all those huge trees behind? Probably.
On the that are existing on the property?
Well, I don't know. They're on it or adjacent, behind, east of it. And, you know, the animals, gosh, we've got raccoons coming in like crazy now. You know, what's going to happen when that happens? But the thing is, like he said, safety. And the other point I wish to draw on 62nd Avenue, if you've ever gone by it, I mean, it is narrow. A lot of times, if a truck comes, say, for example, northbound, and I'm southbound, I have to move over on someone's grass, at least, to let him go. I mean, it is narrow.
Right.
And then also when the water comes, big puddles of water all over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no drainage there at all. And, you know, the county has not, I've lived there for 40 years. No one has repaired those roads. No one. They do all the ones around us, but never our road, 62nd. And so my neighbors, thank God for them, they go around and get gravel and fill up the holes. I mean, it's meant to be rural, you know, and that's why a lot of us kind of moved there, but. You know, like I said, people have a right to sell their property, but for heaven's sakes, make it sane. And I thought maybe I missed, but I thought in the latest letter we got that they said instead of 19, they were thinking in terms of, was it 10 or 12? Or did I misunderstand that?
That's news to me. 18 is the proposal.
Was the proposal. I thought they were reconsidering, but maybe I misread it. I was kind of hoping that they were.
It'd be... That's not what's before me. 18 units, you're going for it.
That's what I saw. They said, but we have the right to have 18. What was further down in the paragraph. You know.
Well, the theoretically, have the right to 24.
Yeah, but gosh. Well, you know, the thing of it is, these people will, I mean, 1.5 cars. Who's got 1.5 cars?
All those bike riders.
Yeah, right. And these big big trucks, big cars that they've got now, these big vans. My God, I mean, you know, it's hard enough to get around seeing just any place with that. But
I haven't heard that 62nd Avenue is a major racetrack, that speeds are not excessive there. It sounds pretty narrow. It sounds like too narrow. People just kind of creep along.
Well, that's what you think. But let me tell you, they are. And then the motorcycles zoom.
What's the posted speed?
Well, it's 25 going north and south, and it's 30 going east and west. Mm-hmm. Is how it's marked, you know. But I mean, not I'm saying everybody follows that. No,
if you get your prayers answered and you get a wider street, guess what that does to the traffic speeds?
Sure. Oh yeah. Oh, I can imagine that. But what I'm saying is, when you have more occupants, it's going to make it even worse. That's what I'm saying. We won't be able to get around at all. I mean, we have trouble now with roads. And then with the 500 thing, my God. And then with 70, 60 more people, plus the ones that are coming in the other developments. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to take a ride down there. I think you probably tend to agree with us.
So, Amy, how long has this cottage option been on the books with the code? Can't have been too long.
I think it's been a while, but we at least 2012.
Okay.
But we have only received three applications.
Three.
We have one that's been approved,
uh-huh.
But I don't believe it was for a cottage subdivision. I think it was a cottage site plan. I believe.
Uh-huh.
There was another cottage application that we had for a subdivision that didn't complete itself, and this is the first one that's going through for subdivision approval.
Okay, so the others weren't a land division?
Yeah, I don't think the other one was a land division, if I'm remembering correctly.
Wow, okay. So it'd be multiple units on a single lot?
Yeah.
So this is an experiment.
Well, yeah, but...
And guess who gets to decide whether and how it works?
Well, I know, but you know what?
County thanks you for your dedicated volunteerism.
Are nice, but, you know...
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the code says what it says, but you can read a plan as well as I can and imagine how it's going to work. I mean, in theory...
I might just invite you to drive.
It might work.
Well, I'd like to invite you to drive.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Who else would like to testify in opposition? Come on down. We have three seats here still, so if anyone besides this woman, please. And I have a number of written objections as well, and so those are part of the record. I think I've got like six comments in the opposition category. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Lydia Anisimova, last name Anisimova. The address 4403 Northeast 62nd Avenue.
What's your first name again?
Lydia, Lidiya.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so one of the things, I work for the Vancouver Public School, so I did my homework as I did with I teach my students. So first of all, I'm going to tell how many cars we're going to have in our street. I did my homework with my camera today. 25 cars per hour. That means 250 cars per 10 hours. And it's going to be 1,750 cars per week if they're not building these 18 houses. If they build these 18 houses, it's going to be extra 252 per week.
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't have a sidewalks, and how I told you, I work for a Vancouver Public School. We do have a students who walk over there, and they have no single sidewalk over there.
So 62nd doesn't
60 have sidewalks? 62nd have two existing bus stops for the Vancouver Public School right now.
But no sidewalks on?
No sidewalks. That's the reason why we have two, because the school district, we have a requirement. If we don't have a sidewalks, we can't let the student walk, especially elementary school and middle school, if we don't have a sidewalk over there. So more houses, we will have more stops over there. And one of our neighbors, she already told me, like, oh, my gosh, how many buses we have? 10 buses per hour. That's what I see on my camera today. 10, that's a lot, and we will have more. Another thing. So how many houses we have in hold our block from 40th Street till 47th? We have 49 houses. This is covered 20 acres, 0.48.
49 houses?
49 houses, 20 acres, 0.48. That's
on 62nd.
From 40th Street till 47th on a 62nd. So this is like a street over there. And now they want to put 18 houses in 1.65, I figured out today, because the map says 1.77. So a little bit lie, but that's a big deal. 1.65, 18 houses. I'm sorry, that's crazy. Even if each house will have two cars, it's going to be 36 cars, but this is 1.5. I never see parking lot 1.5. Mm-hmm. And you said bicycles. My sons have a bicycle, but they don't have a parking lot for themselves. We don't have that many bicycles in our neighborhood, and I don't believe people will drive in a bicycle. And that point, when 500 will be closed, they're not able to cross 500. They can go only opposite direction, which one not many places for work right now. All the people traveling over the 500 to the towards the fourth plane, Andreessen, but they can go because they. According to the 500, they're going to close the Stapleton intersection, but they don't planning to build a bridge for pedestrians at least for first 3 years. Maybe they will build it if they have enough budget.
Oh, over Andreessen?
Over the 500.
Okay.
Because that's the big question. Hmm. So I did a couple pictures. My husband actually did it. This is the 62nd Street.
Okay.
That's what 66 actually. This is across of his parents' house. That's the problem we're going to have soon. Because they don't have any other houses before. But a couple of years ago, they built Springfield Meadows apartments over there. And after this, they built in this nursing home over there, Service Village. That's what happened across of the Service Village. The cars is parking over there, so on every time when we back up from his parents' driveway, we can't back up because cars parking over there. And Maria, I believe it's Maria her name, she gave a good point. She can't back up from her driveway if these people build the houses over there. And cars will park for sure. I will give you 150%. They will park on the 62nd Street. Because when my neighbors from
They park on street now.
They park on a 62nd Street, but they will 66th. But they will park on a 62nd also because that's just impossible. Like I live right now on a 0.25 acre. When my friends come over, I have to ask my neighbors from across the street, can they park in your land over there? They said okay. When my neighbors behind me have a party, they park in my grass and they don't ask me. And this is on the 62nd Street. We will facing this problem pretty soon, really soon one. And I, you know, honestly, I don't see the why they're doing one. So what else I want to say? So about the east, they said the east side from this property, it's going to be temporary cul-de-sac. Who said it's temporary? I talked to this lady who lives in the east side behind the fence. She don't plan to send her property right now. She signed this paper because I'm one who walked through all these houses and asked the signatures from them. So I talked to every single person, 33 people, and nobody planning to sell the property behind this property one. So I'm sorry, but they more than one time they said it's temporary cul-de-sac. Since when? Nobody planning. I didn't see any plan for that. And another thing, nobody see this property for sale. So I know money doing everything right now, but they have to think about my kids, my neighbors, and everybody. So when they tell it's going to be single parent family, seniority, single parent, that means 1, 2, and 3 kids. And at a certain point, they will start driving, and you're not going to tell them. I already have this problem in the Arne cul-de-sac because I live kind of in a cul-de-sac 44th Street. We have neighbors, they have teenagers, Last year, we installed the cameras because they're all the time flying back and forth. Even if our streets have a 25 miles per hour, we don't have no single sign which one says 25 miles per hour. And I'm going to, because I just really pay attention about the speed limits right now, because for the school bus driver, I have to be pay attention. We have no sign for 25 miles per hour. People driving 30, 40, 45. I even call the police and I tell guys, send that somebody here. Park next to my house. Please make a record how people driving in our street, because it's crazy. When they kill my child, I don't need their story. It's not going to be giving any compensation for me if it's going to be one of the teenagers, which we already have too many in our street. It's going to be end of their life, and it's going to be end of my life, because my child is going to be 2 feet underground. And I'm sorry, I can't afford that. That's not for I get 9 months pregnant, then do it something like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Sandra Lewis, 4111 Northeast 62nd Avenue. And she was pretty much what I was thinking going about was the traffic, the congestion, and it's going to be worse. And if the county wants to approve all of this, they also should put in sidewalks up and down the street, more stop signs. But no, they will still have the long, narrow, the narrow roads, people driving by quickly or fast. Just the other day, there was a car that was doing about 60 miles an hour, and he took a left on the 47th Street. And, I mean, this is happens constantly. And then we add more people, and then we cut off Highway 500, even though the state has the land, they have the soil to do to make an overpass. But no, I mean, and that's been in there, 500's been in there since 1980.
You mean a vehicular overpass or a pedestrian overpass?
A car overpass. I mean, overpass, underpass, I mean,
crossing,
just pedestrian. Mm-hmm. All that pedestrian is kids walking back and forth to maybe Fort Vancouver High School. But this on 40th Street, which is from 54th Avenue to Andreessen, it's already a racetrack. There's no sidewalks, no lights, no stop signs except from the side streets like 59th and 62nd. And there's car dealerships and people traveling there. They want to speed up and see how fast their new cars will go. Even the ones that are trying out cars are up and down our street.
Okay.
And okay. It's so something needs to be done to these roads before there is any more building. Definitely. We were going down 40th Street one night or late afternoon. And there were people walking, and you couldn't see them. But they were on the edge of the road because there's no sidewalks.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're next, sir.
Yeah, I'm probably the oldest person on that street. I've been there for 55 years.
No, you're not.
What's your name?
My name is Arthur Schmidt. I sent in a letter.
Mm-hmm. I have at least one from you. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, I've lived there for 55 years, and I've seen a lot of changes around there. One of them was across the street. I used to have a lake. I don't anymore. The property north of me, which is this development,
mm-hmm.
I had a lake there, and they filled it up with debris from Fourth Plain Road when they made it four lane, which was a long time ago. I have a drainage problem.
So you have a drainage problem?
I do, from this property. It's roughly 5 or 6 feet higher on the top end and the north end, and it slopes right to my property. Mm-hmm. And I have a cyclone fence on the north side of my property, and there's standing water every time it rains almost. This is just all wrong. I don't know. Four, maybe five houses in there would be good, but any more than that, these don't sound like houses anyway. They sound like motel units to me.
They're very small.
That's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to testify in opposition? Come on down. Go ahead.
My name is Roman Anisimov, last name Anisimov, and address 4403 Northeast 62nd Avenue. And, you know, it's really very interesting that when we receive the letters, first of all, not everybody who is affected by this received the letters for some reason. I think it's something has to do with the politic behind it. You know, less people know, less people complain, which is pretty strange because we went around neighborhood and we asked people, did you receive the letter? Not everybody received the letter.
Well, it seems like word has gotten out, so why don't you proceed to your points?
Sounds good. So when we signed the petition, you know, that we disagree mm-hmm. with that, we received the second petition. The first proposal was that the houses would be like 2,000 square feet and more. Mm-hmm. Instead of listening, they just decreased the square footage of the house. Now they kind of, they'll be looking like chicken coops, you know, the small 800 square foot houses, you know, and of course, who can afford those houses? There will be low-income families, mm-hmm. and usually with low-income families, there's a crime, increase of crime, you know, majority of families.
That I'm not going to entertain, okay?
Yeah, and the safety concerns are huge, you know. We bought a property like 3 years ago on the 62nd Street, and, you know, the cars constantly flying through. How many times I had to stop people and tell them, you know, slow down. Nobody wants to listen. And the road is like, it's like you can barely make it through two cars. Like, you know, you have to pull up to the side of the road, you know, to let somebody go through. And if it's a school bus, you know, it's even worse. And with this development, it's not going to get better. You know, the people will be parking in the street. No matter what, if you're going to put the signs that no park, they still be parking in.
All right, because there's no curb.
No curb.
60
yeah.
second. It's just, it's paved.
It's paved, but the road is terrible.
And
you know?
Gravel shoulders, it just goes into people's yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Travis Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. My address is 4410 Northeast 62nd Avenue, which is about 600 feet north of this place here.
Okay.
I grew up in this neighborhood. And there is a lot of water in this neighborhood. It's my property and the one just north of me, according to an old timer lives in the neighborhood adjacent to me, said it was the main watering hole for the area. Myself, as soon as it rains, I instantly have mud puddles in my driveway.
So wait, tell me, your house, is it part of a subdivision or is it on a large lot?
No, it's just over an acre and an eighth.
Okay, so a lot of people in this neighborhood are single houses on large lots.
Yes.
Okay.
There's quite a few, and kind of like that.
No, Amy, is there some kind of aerial or area illustration? Okay.
Yes.
So you're north of this site on 62nd.
North. Yes.
And.
Like. Five lots north on the west side of the road.
Okay.
Which, as everyone else has said, is a very narrow road. Yes, right in there. Just north, two more lots north is my place, right there.
Okay. What's that large empty parcel up north of you? Is that a park?
Well, I guess I must be just, it's hard to tell with this mapping. So that is a couple houses north of me, that big lot with all the trees.
Okay.
I must be.
So this area's been very wet. I mean, you've lived there quite a while.
Yes. And you asked about basements with someone else. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's no way I could have a basement in my house.
You're not aware of any houses with basements in the area?
None that I'm aware of. Okay. No, sir.
Okay.
Now I do know that there is, from what I understand, when there's a lot of building like this, it displaces water. And the last gentleman that spoke, the older gentleman who had been there for 50 plus years, he lives just
south of it.
What's that?
He's just south of it.
Yeah, south of it. And yes, that property is higher than his, and he's, he's got the water as well. Across from him, I know that was high water. It still is high water. And I could just see more, all this building going on, that the water's got to go somewhere in the ground. And
wait one second. Amy, is this sort of odd because it's not your normal urban model of subdivisions? Are there recent subdivisions near this to speak of?
I believe that there are several, but I can't really... from memory, point out so if there are any in process right now.
Basically, single homes on larger lots.
Actually, there is one that is a road over. It's like in this vicinity.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I can't remember the name of the
subdivision. That area looks like a couple modern type subdivisions.
Yeah, those were what, like, I don't remember the zoning, but I think it was just the standard zoning size lots, 6,500, 7,500 square foot lots.
Mm-hmm.
It connected the road network from the west over to, is that 54th? Is that right? But at any rate, so there is a nearby subdivision that I'm aware of. That Applewood, I believe, is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that
looks like a dense one a little farther south there.
This area right here?
Yeah.
I'm unsure of what that is. But you're right. It definitely very dense.
So I guess my point is... I hear a lot of testimony when I'm reviewing subdivisions in kind of the urban fringe, because Clark County is very wet and a lot of places has a high water table. And so I frequently hear testimony exactly like you're providing and other people that, hey, this was a swamp, this was a marsh, there was standing water here. The thing is, and you heard Mr. Jardine explain a little earlier, the county has pretty prescriptive stormwater requirements, and so the rule is that it cannot shed water off-site, that all of the water that falls on it has to stay on it, and they're prohibited from having any post-development stormwater runoff. And so what happens when these areas build out is they install underground detention tanks and collection systems, and because they're required to not let the stormwater flow off. And so frequently, almost invariably, the stormwater problems get resolved that way because they have modern stormwater collection and detention systems.
Yes, sir. I was just understanding that just the fact that things are being built, that the water is not runoff from there, but is displaced.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but I was totally understood that that's how it does happen a lot. Places that maybe never had water before on them, they build this development next to them, and then all of a sudden their whole yard is a pond.
That's not supposed to happen. And, I see them at this stage of the game, and I don't track these as they go forward. But invariably, like this area, I bet in the next year, 2, 3, 4, 10 years, I'll get more subdivision applications that come before me. So I'll hear testimony about kind of oldsters like you who can provide this historical perspective.
Yes.
And invariably, if it's a modern subdivision that's designed according to the requirements of the county, and the county reviews all this as it's designed and constructed, it gets better. That the standing water is not so much a problem in the winter.
Yes.
That's the theory. You know, a lot of this, we're here in the theoretical realm here, especially with this one, with these very small units, very dense. 200% is what the code allows. I've never had an application that allowed 200% of the base zone density, but that's what this one is. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
It does change the whole feeling of that neighborhood, though, with little cottages. And
especially if you are all on oversized lots. I mean, golly.
Houses that have been built in the 50s or sooner. Mine was in 43.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these older houses. It's nice to see a new house being built in the neighborhoods around us.
Mm-hmm.
But these don't really look like houses to me.
This is a real contrast. If this were like an infill project in a sea of normal subdivisions, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But I can see why this is kind of a shocker to the people who live out there.
They're jumping through a loophole to get as much money out as they can. So.
Well, I mean, that's the name of the game in all of this. But the thing is, you know, this was planned this way, and the Board of County Councilors thought it was a good idea for you to have this in your neighborhood.
Right. So I just want to make sure I'm here to object. And
yeah.
Thank you.
Duly noted. Thank you.
I just want to point out one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even the other subdivisions that are there, and they're pretty dense,
mm-hmm.
they are still houses. They have
right.
their own
and there is. Let me just say, Amy, this is all R1-6 in this area. So what he's referring to are standard based on R1-6 subdivisions, basically.
Yeah.
So half the units per acre than what's being proposed here. This is new. A new model.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, I haven't seen one of these. And Ms. Wooten said that there have been three have gone through the process. None have been built yet. This may be the first one. So when I said this is an experiment, it is.
Yeah. It would be nice to be somewhere where it's like no neighbors or completely new.
No kidding. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be such a big deal if it were in the midst of normal, already developed landscape, already subdivided to R16 type density. It would not be dramatically different from that. But these are what you've described in your neighbors. You're single houses on oversized lots.
Yes.
You know, a 1 acre lot, that's almost as big as this site.
Yeah, so it's kind of a shocker, and it changes the nature of the neighborhood.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else? Come on down. Cheese stands alone. Go ahead.
Thank you for being here tonight. And Dan, first, my name is Michael. M-I-C-H-A-E-L, McKeddy, M-C-K-E-D-Y. I live at 4201 Northeast 62nd Avenue.
And I have at least one letter from you.
Well, nice. Again, first of all, I'd like to state, Dan, I appreciate your service here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in this area.
Not as long as others, though, it sounds like.
Yes, I have owned my home here on 62nd for 25 years this year. And I'd also point out that a lot of the folks in the room here, I went to school with all of their kids. And this little area around here is kind of special. We all know each other.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of turnover.
Yeah. Yes. No, and everybody's been there a long, long time. Everybody has a half acre, a 3 acre, you know, big lots, things like that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't often hear that from testimony that I get. It's usually subdivisions in an already developed landscape. We're getting more and more infill projects, so this is unusual to have such underdeveloped properties around it.
Yeah, I kind of like what you said about, you know, this being a first-time kind of thing, kind of a pink elephant, as I should say, type of.
Well, I mean, your comment in your letter here is true that this is, this is new to this area.
Yes.
It's new to the county.
Right. I would also like to say I've also had great help from, I've talked with Amy. I've made two trips down. I talked to Richard and Scott and the planners divisions earlier down here, just kind of just curious. Anyway, I have to say, though, that Clark County has been really good to me over the years, and I love it here. And
well, that may change.
Well, I understand. And I would also like to reiterate that everybody on the street, a lot of folks couldn't make it tonight. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I see this petition. A lot of people express strong interest in this case.
Sure. And, you know, like I said, the main thing is the size of the, you know, this type of experiment, as we'll call it. Before I get too far, I would kind of like to jump back to my old paper route there. Mm-hmm. Where it's the Rose End Farm development that's high density there. And right below that, I would point out that treed area there, they actually made that into a park, and there's a large pond there.
Which one is that? Can you
find it? Right over off 54th Avenue, right there at the top, on over west, please, and south, and that high density area there. It'd be just that green area just south, yes.
Oh, okay. It looks like a PUD county, to me.
I'm not sure. It
looks like a trailer park, actually.
Yeah, that's like I said, that's actually a county, that little park area there, and there's a pond there. And so a lot of that water that's been contended with actually heads down into that pond area. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to get back to that. But again, over on 59th Avenue, just west of us there, probably you can see that field area up there. As they brought up earlier, they're building in a really nice, there was a lot of farm area there, orchards and stuff, and they're putting in some nice standalone, you know, good-sized lot, houses, nice street lights and roads. It looks good. And we knew for years that sooner or later they'd build this area. And we're fine with that. They build something nice. But something to this degree, and like I said, it's new. Do I feel that in 5 to 7 years they'll mainly be rentals? Yes. Do I feel somebody like Art that's lived here for 55 years in that place, huge lot, beautiful home with the shops and back buildings, to be walled in out of your back lot with that? Yes, it's a shock. As far as the road goes, you've seen a couple pictures of it. If you were on the road with a car and an emergency vehicle was coming down through there, you're not going to get around them. I mean, that's kind of the way that is. I'd also point out on this, the code 40.220.010, this residential, where it kind of defines a few things about the R16 zone. And at the beginning is A, there is the purpose. And what I like about it says here, you know, that they recognize and maintain, protect established low-density residential areas.
Mm-hmm.
And also they establish higher density areas that have a range of community services and facilities that present or will be present at the time of development. You know, I look at that as like bike lanes or access to bus stops, things like that, which obviously in this area is going to be quite a long ways walk in the rain to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, it gives the breakdown, I'm sure, of anybody, you've seen this, that, you know, it has their specific lot sizes of, you know, 6,000 feet. I realize this is on a special permit. I have, you know, and this is
you
one
see
of the...
It's allowed in the zone. If you've read that base zone, it's on the table.
Yeah.
It's right
and
there.
I realize it's met all the codes.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, you can come here and make a whole list of stuff that you want to talk about and really point out. But, you know, when you get here and you sit, you know, in front of everybody and you, it, you know, some of this stuff is tough, and I certainly don't want to take up any more of your time.
No, and a lot of people, I mean, they raise a lot of points. I assume you concur with what they say. But, I mean, if you've read the code, you know how this works.
Yes.
And I am strictly governed by the authority granted to me in the code by the county councilors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not only authorized to review these, I'm obligated to approve them if they meet these requirements.
Sure. And I see,
you know, warts and all. If I don't like it, I get it. I certainly get it.
Exactly. You actually mentioned earlier that we could request to ask to keep this open for a while after this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to request that if I could. And I guess my thing is all of us have lived and worked done well, live in a pretty decent neighborhood. I would just ask, I guess, if you were driving home to your house tonight, would you want to see this type of development up next to your place or on your street? I'm sure not. These the parking up and down the streets, there will not, you know, people got to come over to their house or they're having a barbecue or they have no driveway, they have no garage. They're going to have to park up front, otherwise they've got a 300-foot walk through the rain to get to, into your house. I don't think any of us here would, majority would, it'd be better, like even a row house has a garage with a little bit of porch or something around it where there's some sort of living quality. I also want to apologize that I'm not speaking quite as clearly as I would have liked to have been tonight. It's been a long day for me at work.
No, your letter is pretty articulate, so I understand your points.
And so, but I guess lastly, you know, was that that? Would we want that in my neighborhood? I understand if it meets codes.
Yeah, that's particularly not an analysis I'm allowed to enter into.
And I respect
that. That makes it personal, and I'm not supposed to go there.
And I respect that, and I believe in the system. I got to, honestly, Dan, I got to say, I'm sure you've heard this, a lot of people would say, well, you know, they go through the process, and this is what a lot of, like I said, people in the county or city would say, well, you know, they'll have the meeting, they'll let the people gritch a little bit, and they'll do it anyway. But I got to tell you, I have a little more faith in the system than that. So whatever steps that need to be taken or could be taken from this point on, I believe that the county will come to the right decision of, like, maybe since this is such a pink elephant type of development, maybe this just isn't quite the site for it. Maybe somewhere closer in the city limits or that has bus access.
Well, under the base zone, that anything that's zoned R16 is eligible for this.
Yes.
So wherever R16, and I assume other zones allow cottage type developments, so it's a kind of pervasive, allowed. You know, maybe this isn't ideal, but a lot of the deficiencies that you've testified about and others have testified about, like the lack of sidewalks, curbs, and street stormwater system, guess how those things get built and paid for? It's through developments such as this, kind of lot by lot by lot. So this development is going to have to do street frontage improvements that seem to be absent everywhere else along the street.
Yes.
And so that's how this works. And it may be difficult for people who are already living on in their house and have no intention of moving or developing, but 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it'll happen. I'll guarantee you it will happen.
Right. I learned how to ride my dirt bike on SR500 and when they were building it.
Yep.
I get it.
Yeah.
But, again, like I understand that. And what they're saying, so it's hard to convey.
It's hard to live in it.
Every idea.
It's hard to live while this process is going on because it's very painful.
Sure, but I again, with the street width, and like I said, the access, as you were talking earlier, the access to the bus stops, the bicycling, you know, to get up and down that particular road. If that road, I understand it brings higher speed traffic, but if that road was wider, front to back, or you know, north and south through there. At least if when those people come to visit there, they will have places to pull over or park along that area instead of parking down.
Right now, it's people's front yards.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also maybe some sidewalk areas or somewhere where people, pedestrians could walk through.
Because those are standard elements of urban development.
Right.
And that's what this cottage type model is. It's urban development.
Yes. And what's sad is a lot of times, well, sure, I don't expect the builder to have to, you know, be responsible for doing the whole length of the road or paying for, you know, sometimes they might. But what I'm getting at is they widen that one section, and then it's bottlenecked the rest of the way through.
Right.
And so the emergency vehicle access to there, not good. I live just two lots south of this lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have built the place. I bought it when I was 21 years old. I built the place on my hands and knees. And I have some big buildings out back and things. We've got a lot of – all the surrounding area has a lot of blood into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so – at this point, that's why the whole feeling has been so strong about this. And as you said earlier, and I can close with this, like you said, this is kind of a one-of-the-kind thing.
So far.
And at this point, and to pick this particular lot on this street with this kind of access for everyone is exactly, I feel, the wrong decision.
Okay, I get it.
And any further than that, I appreciate your time, and I'll also compliment the people that work here at the county that helped me out with a lot of good information. So, and thanks again, Dan. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'll give you another shot.
Mary Buzas, I want you to look at this picture. It's pointing directly at my driveway, and it gives...
That's your driveway there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's, it gives such a false impression about how narrow the street is.
I see the car parked farther up.
Well, my cars are not parked on the driveway right now, so it was taking at the perfect time, and that's the easement that goes to the homes in the back. So I just want you to trust that this road is narrow. Don't judge it by looking at this picture. That's our driveway. And I would like to request this case to stay open to further analyze how the bus stops, how the kids are going to get to the school and back to the buses safely. And also we would like to keep this case, I would like to request this case to stay open to understand the water storm, how 18 cottages water drainage will not affect the already problem with water. So safety on the street and water storms. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to testify in opposition? Okay, a quick one.
Oh, how I told you already about the 500.
Since this is being recorded, if you could reintroduce yourself.
Lidia Anisimova.
Okay, go ahead.
So the, according to the 500 one, so House de Maria told it already, so let's wait and keep the case open till 500 is closed, and I promise you, I will keep an eye on my camera. I will do another recording, and I will do another counting, and I will send a report for you how many extra cars we will have after that as soon as the 500 intersection closes in the Falk and Stapleton. And this will happen in this weekend because they was planning to do 1 weekend ago, and because the rain started, they push it back because they can't do the striping in the road when it's rainy outside. So right now...
This is on 500.
500, yeah. Right now they put the signs again. So this weekend, I guess... next week, I have to find a different road how we're going to driving to work because they planning to close these two intersections. And it's definitely going to be affecting our road after that. So I will do the paperwork and the recording one. So how I told you, if you want it, keep me in your paper note and ask me the video recording I can give you because we do have a camera installed exactly on the 62nd Street. And I can see how many cars driving back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And when we have extra 18 houses... it's going to be increased our amount, quite a bad one. And that's one of the things. You know, when we live in our house and when you buy the house, you're really expecting to walk from your house, do the evening walk, morning walk, let your child play over there. I don't want to live like next to the I-5 freeway or something like that one. I don't have nothing against these people who want to build over there. Let's be realistic. I understand when we guys send you, you know, the offer, if we're going to tell you don't build nothing over there, you're probably going to ask me another question. Okay, Lydia, are you crazy? If the people borrow the property, they want to build something. Let's meet somewhere in the middle. We don't tell them don't build it, but build it something realistic so we all can survive over there. Because the people who are going to build over there, obviously, they're going to sell or they're going to rent. They're not going to build live over there by themselves. So, and I have to live over there. I bought my house 3 years ago, and I don't plan to sell at all. I want my kids grown up over there. That's why I plant my tree over there. I'm sorry, nobody asked you right now. Maybe 18 years later. And you tell 10 years in a row, she will be here again. Because, again, the daughter following the mother's steps. So she's going to tell you, said, okay, why I plant this tree and somebody wants to chop it. I planted the tree right now, and this property have beautiful two apple trees where I collect the apples this year. They have a beautiful another tree. They have a bunch of birds over there. When I walk in the street, okay, Leah, look at that. That's the birds. But pretty soon, birds doesn't have a house anymore. And why I have to improve and somebody have to just destroy? Because I understand when they build 18 houses, they don't have that much land over there. So they have no property for tree or garden box, poor bunny, or like a bird. No, because it's only be shingles, chimney, and, you know, I can share my dinner with my neighbor through the window. That's how it's going to be. And I'm sorry, sometimes maybe I can hear the toilet flushing my neighbor, and I don't want it. And they're actually going to be exactly in my backyard. And right now I have, tried to do all my best about my beautiful backyard and the greenhouse and everything. And after this, they're going to all watching in my backyard. So I can't go outside with my swimsuit because my creepy neighbor got me look me outside. And I don't want that situation. Thank you.
Remind me, where is your property relative to?
My property is 4403 Northeast 62nd Avenue. So if you look from this property up in the picture, and I'm exactly in a cul-de-sac, this house in the corner. No, more on the right, arrow on the right. Right.
Go to the right.
To the right.
Oh, sorry.
To the east.
Yep, this one, right here. So this is my neighbor, and I'm right here. But they exactly facing, because my neighbor and me, we have a backyard over there, and it's open space.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's going to be, if it's going to be two-story house, definitely people from the second floor, they're going to wave it to me. So, I have to put the really
good. How big is your lot?
My lot, that's 0.25, yeah. And okay. So this lot, it's just, four times bigger than my lot. But I can have only one house over there, and this is 18. How I told you, I don't have nothing against that. But the people have to be realistic whatever the building over there. I believe this builder who want to build over there, he have a bigger lot than I am, and he probably don't want this kind of situation over there. So if I renting, maybe I'm not really be really crazy about that. But I'm not renting. I'm planning to live over there. So you said 10 years. The gentleman who lived 55 years over there, 10 more years, it's going to be 65. I'm sorry, nothing against him, but he maybe not survive all this stuff over there. Because every time when he see all this disaster happen around his house, stress after stress after stress, and maybe someday I will hear, okay, he have a heart attack or something like that. Please live longer than 10 years. I don't have nothing against that one. So I wish him the best one. But the lady who used to live in this house, she passed away last year. And I never see the sign for sale. And when I walk on the street, couple people told me, Lydia, we really want to buy this property, but we never see the sign for sale, because otherwise we will buy it, build it one or maybe two houses, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But we never have this opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Mr. Schlofeldt and Mr. Johnson, rebuttal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hearing Examiner. And just for the record, again, this is Albert Schlofeldt here on behalf of the applicant. I have a few comments, and then I'll let Mr. Johnson make his comments. I want to be very respectful of the neighbors' concerns, and certainly we understand them. There was a comment about sidewalks, as I think you understand, that we'll be adding sidewalks on 62nd and on 43rd. Street, that's an improvement that will be made. There was some concern about size of the units. The units are actually between 1,200 and 1,600 square feet per unit. So I don't think they're as small as some of the neighbors.
These are single story?
Yes, I believe so. Is that correct, Travis? Are they single story? Yeah.
Sorry, two story.
Oh, two story, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Pardon me. There was a question about whether there were other developments in the neighborhood. I think there's a 49th Street short plat to the north of this development. I had one other comment. Parking. I think there was a question about parking on 62nd. 62nd, as I understand it, is a neighborhood circulator, and parking is allowed on 62nd, and it is allowed on one side of 43rd. So we have, as we stated, there is 34 on-site spots, plus if you were to count street parking, there's another nine spots. That's all I had.
Okay. I guess start with Mr. and Mrs. Buzas' concerns. I think along with everyone else's, I think there was a lot of discussion about traffic safety. The applicant is paying impact fees. Those impact fees will go to widen roads and repair roads that are in disrepair, like we heard tonight. There also, the thing was discussed was the extension of 43rd. Mm-hmm. The first plan that was submitted didn't show an extension there. Staff suggested that we extend 43rd to the east property line. And that extension of that roadway will continue through to 66 in the future. And the idea is to provide circulation and pull more traffic away from 62nd as properties develop. And then there was discussion about 62nd Avenue not having parking. The developer will have to widen 62nd Avenue to a neighborhood circular roadway, which will give it an additional 8 feet of width to provide parking along the frontage of the development.
So you'd be dedicating or paving or both?
Paving and dedicating.
What is the pavement width now about?
It's approximately 20 feet.
And so you'd be paving out to like 28?
Total of 28, 18 one side, would be 10 remaining on the other. The other point that was brought up was the site containing wetlands. Mm-hmm. Clark County has an on-staff biologist that reviews all projects. There's no mapping of wetlands on this site. Additionally, there's three things that quantify the wetland. One is plants, second is hydrology, and the third is soil types. And the site doesn't contain any of the three to be qualified as a wetland site. Mm-hmm. Additionally, there's no projects near the site that have had mapped wetlands that I know of to date. I think it would be good to address stormwater also. I don't know if Ms. Wooten can turn it to the site plan. The parking lot on the southeast corner of the site will be pervious concrete. The north side of the site that Arthur, I think his name was Arthur, said, it does go up in elevation, and there's a greater distance from finished ground to groundwater up in that location, so we were able to do underground infiltration. The roadways will all drain to bio retention facilities where they'll be treated and then infiltrate into the ground.
These are subsurface retention, detention, or swales?
Excuse me. Rain gardens are basically small ponds, 2 feet to 3 feet deep, and they contain a bio retention mix that treats the water as it goes through it, and then underneath that, of course, the stormwater will infiltrate into the ground.
Okay.
So it's all infiltration facilities. The amount of rainwater that lands on the site today doesn't change tomorrow, so it's not like the site creates more water. We just have to mitigate the water. So the development does meet all Clark County 4386 stormwater code requirements, and it does meet the 2015 Clark County stormwater manual. To address some of the concerns about the units themselves, as Mr. Schoenfeld said, the units are going to going to range from 1,200 to 1,600 square feet. Right now, as it sits today, I can't guarantee this, but they are two stories, and that's what they're planned. That's what we submitted elevations and plans for. They will be two stories, and right now they will be 1,600 square feet. Mm-hmm. The applicant does have the opportunity to reduce the square footage when they do apply for a building permit. They do have 10-foot separation between the units, which is normal in the R16 zone. The only difference is the late exhibit that we submitted, we're moving the lot line towards one unit to give the other unit more usable space. If you calculated a normal R16 zone yard space outside of the normal building setbacks, what we found is that the lots that we're proposing have just under 200 to 300 square feet under the amount of yard space that a normal R16 home does have. So it gives the open space that a normal residential lot does. And last, the units, as you can see on the units themselves, we do propose large front and rear porches and sometimes side porches, as you can see on the site plan. And those are requirements by the cottage code. The other thing I guess I'd like to add is that, as Ms. Wooten said, the other cottage development was a site plan, meaning they're not fee simple lots. This development, we are proposing fee simple lots. So there will be home ownership for each of these cottages.
And the parking lots are common space?
Correct.
Okay. Any other common areas?
In the back of the units, there's the exhibit we submitted. Staff wanted to verify that we met all the open space requirements, which was 200 square feet per private open space per unit, and also 400 square feet of common open space per unit. Per the exhibit, we exceed that nearly 3 to 4 times the minimum requirements. Additionally, the parking, as you know, the minimum requirement is 1.5 spaces per unit, and we're approximately 2.4 spaces per unit. So we do understand parking is a concern.
Okay. There was a request to keep open the record or continue this. What's your response to that?
We'd like to close the record tonight. It is, I guess, would there be a reason or is there a requirement to keep the record open just by request?
There's no requirement.
Okay. The only change that we made to the site plan was the lot lines and to zero lot line setback. That has no effect on the neighbors. And it's just an enhancement to the development itself. No building changes, no roadway changes, no parking changes. The site plan stays the same. The lot lines are the only change that were made. So with regards to that, we would like to close the record.
Okay. Anything else?
No. Any other questions?
No. Nope. That's fine. Thank you. Ms. Wooten, Mr. Jardine, anything you'd like to add based on what you've heard? Mr. Jardine, in particular, the status of the streets, 62nd, neighborhood circulator.
It is classified as a neighborhood circulator, as the applicant has shown and indicated. As such, as development occurs, developments are required to do frontage improvements or dedicate right-of-way. All of that depends on nexus and proportionality for the development. In this particular instance, they are proposing dedication of right-of-way as well as construction of frontage improvements that would include curb gutter sidewalk, street widening, and then they're accommodating their stormwater and a bioretention facility on the south end of their development on 62nd. And
okay, I see. There's one in 43rd Circle.
That's correct.
Also, yes. One on 62nd.
That is correct.
Can you? What are the dimensional standards for neighborhood circulator, and what's there now?
I don't know the pavement width, and I apologize for that.
Said right now it's about 20 feet. So I'm sure it varies a bit, but that seem right?
I believe that the pavement width is over 20 feet wide in total between the curbs for a neighborhood circulator.
So what's there now? I think
What's there now is approximately 18 to 20 feet wide. There may be gravel shoulders in areas, but it's inconsistent. The street, as it's shown in the picture that's before you, it's got a really jagged edge that will be improved to widen, to add curbs, to add a storm facility, sidewalk, all of those things. An important thing to note, and it was brought up many times this evening, that the road appears to be in pretty rough shape. One of the things that's required as a part of when the applicant comes back with construction plans, the county will go out and test the structure of the road that as it exists today with a gauge, with a meter. They'll look at the structural integrity. If the structural integrity shows that the life of the road has less than 5 years left in it, then they may have to construct to centerline the full width of that roadway or the pavement from the centerline over to their property.
Just for the frontage.
Just for the frontage.
Nothing off-site.
That's correct.
Otherwise, it would be just... expand pavement.
Cut into what's there right now, 2 to 4 feet, and then tie into it with a clean cut and structure to widen the road ultimately.
As I recall, neighborhood circulators are 28 feet. Does that make sense?
That sounds correct to me, and I apologize. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Okay.
One of the things that I just would also like to add, and hopefully it kind of clarifies process for staff as we review developments like these with regard to stormwater and on-site soils. Mm-hmm. At this point, the applicant's responsibility to us is show feasibility. Is a system feasible? As a part of that, they have to do some evaluations, do some analysis, get some professionals out there on site to look at what's available to them and what they can and can't use. In this particular case, the applicant has provided a geotechnical study that did subsurface explorations to look at infiltration, the type of soils that were on site so that they could do some preliminary designs with regard to finding out or determining what kind of storm system they were going to use, whether it was infiltration, whether it was going to be detention, and so on and so forth. In this particular case, what their geotechnical engineer found was that there were areas on this site that had some really good infiltration, and that's the basis for why it appears that they chose to do infiltration on site. There were commenters this evening and in the letters that had talked about the different types of fill that were on site, and that's identified in the geotechnical evaluation. So the geotechnical evaluation, when the applicant comes in for actual construction of the site, that will be a key element for our review engineers to look at and use the geotechnical recommendations to ensure that the engineer is designing to what they need to comply with the geotechnical recommendations for construction. So it's not just that the applicant proposes something and we go with it. There are some additional studies that maybe weren't identified this evening that were available that identified different soils, different infiltration rates, and so on, that helped inform the developer on what was necessary to facilitate stormwater on site.
And as I understand it, this application hasn't changed with regard to a stormwater proposal. The stormwater plan and report is in the application. It's been in the record for quite some time.
Yes, sir.
Nothing has changed on that.
Nothing's changed.
Okay. Anything else?
I will say that at this point, what we have is a preliminary stormwater report. Again, it's showing feasibility based on what they found with the initial geotechnical evaluation. As the applicant comes in with construction plans, there will be a final stormwater report that firms up whether or not they can achieve the stormwater system that they had originally proposed. If that is unable to come to fruition, the applicant or the developer may have to modify or redesign stormwater systems. But at this point, based on the information we have in front of us, the stormwater system looks feasible, appears to be feasible.
Okay. Anything else?
We could get into my favorite topic if you'd like, transportation.
I was wondering about we had a lot of testimony about the overall circulation, and I know that that's kind of beyond the scope of what's before me, the request to create these lots.
Sure.
A lot of the problems that people were complaining about have to do with other collectors and arterials in the area getting to them, getting across them. And it certainly appears that things have gotten more difficult over the years and are not going to get any better. I'd say until this area builds out, right, and that all of these streets are improved up to their full planned dimensions and capacities. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. And actually, there was a someone that had mentioned that they had been to the property east of the subject site to ask them if they were going to develop, and hey, there's a road that appears to be going to go through your property, and all this kind of stuff. So, Mr. Johnson had indicated that staff had suggested the road in the current location and the current configuration that they've shown on their plan. So when we do that, we're looking at our circulation code. We are trying to plan best we can for future development of underdeveloped parcels. As I believe the same person had indicated that, unfortunately, not too long ago, the person who owned the property had passed away. Mm-hmm. And maybe the kids or somebody else had control over the land and now is trying to develop it. So as we look at the road network in the area, we try and plan for providing access to parcels that have the potential to develop so that they are not left out or don't have any opportunity to get to any public road easily. And that's where this street stub or street termination on that east property line came from, is trying to plan for a future extension of that public road to the east to provide circulation to underdeveloped properties in a manner that creates more of a grid type system. Ultimately, as you can see, there's some rights of way that exist north and south of the subject parcel, east of the subject parcel, that could be extended in the future. And typically what we try and do is we try, when we see roadways be proposed in a plan, we try and get them so that they straddle property lines, so no one individual is responsible for the full width of the road going through their property. And I believe that that's what the applicant has tried to do here, mm-hmm. is stub the road at so it's centered on a property line. So as it's extended to the east, the burden doesn't fall on one individual property owner.
Yeah, that makes sense. I see the cul-de-sac bulb is centered on the common property line to the east. Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. Ms. Wooden?
I think the only concern that I heard more than one time was concern about school bus stops. The applicant did provide a letter from the Vancouver School District. All students from this location will be bused to school, whether they go to elementary, middle school, or high school. Right now, they identified some stops to the north and to the south of the development, but they reevaluate those bus stop locations every year. Mm-hmm. So we don't really know where the bus stop locations are going to be. But what I can say is, I had a bus stop location in the Vancouver School District that I didn't think was safe for my kids, and I called the transportation department and suggested a different corner, and they changed the bus stop location. So if the neighbors aren't happy with whatever location it is, I would encourage them to talk to Vancouver School District.
I've seen that happen, too. I see a lot of flexibility in the school district, and school districts more than other entities are aware of changing development patterns. An area that's underpopulated one year, when it builds out, they rejigger their bus routes and bus stops.
Yeah. So okay. That's it for land use.
Okay. Anything more?
Not tonight.
Okay, thank you. I have had a request to keep open the record on this item. For a number of reasons. The reasons given relate to issues that are all very well documented already in the record. Stormwater, transportation circulation, stormwater drainage and collection. So those items are not going to benefit by keeping open the record, and the applicant who has the right to a decision that proceeds through the normal process has opposed the open record request. So I'm inclined to deny the request to keep open the record. So I'm going to close the record tonight, and that will conclude this matter. I will issue a written decision on this item in approximately 2 weeks. So if you haven't already done so, sign in at the back, and you can receive a copy of the decision when it's issued. But it's scheduled to be issued in approximately 2 weeks. So stay in touch with Ms. Wooten and also the applicant's design engineers as well. So that concludes this item, and it also concludes tonight's hearing. Thank you.